The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah. Like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Yeah.
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I cared about you? No, you're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Thursday, August 23rd, here at Gillette Stadium, inside the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. Yes, you have the A-team this afternoon. For PFW in Progress, Andy Hart and Paul Perillo joining you because the Anchor Boys, otherwise known as Fred Kirsch and Eric Scalavino, are down in Tampa with the Patriots, probably finishing up the second of the two joint practices that the teams are having before they kick it off tomorrow night in the third preseason game. But Andy Hart is with you, so that means it'll always be light and festive and probably pointless, but you know, that's an argument for another day. And I'll be here to rein him in, so to speak. Is that okay? Why do we get a disgusted look right off the top?
Why do you get to take a shot right off the top?
I learned it from watching you.
Yeah.
The truth is
Paul will be here to bore us.
The truth is never mean, as they say.
But mean is mean.
Well, it wasn't mean. You said the truth isn't mean. That's the truth. I have to rein you in sometimes. Anyway.
Rein this.
Anyway, we are with you. There.
I get a note right off the bat.
Okay. I was going to say we have plenty to talk about because of yesterday's practice, but go right ahead. Go ahead.
Mine's a little less significant, but not to Fred Kirsch. Did you see the new carpet they're putting into the weight room while the players aren't here? It's field. It's green with white lines like a football field.
That was the... never mind. Yes,
very
I did
cool.
see that.
I don't know if it's field turf. It looks like it's just synthetic carpet, but it's very cool.
Yeah.
They're making the weight room what it should have been all along now, something where you can go, oh, that's cool. You know, throw a few Patriots logos up there and make it not just a nondescript cement block little room. But I'm very excited about that. We saw those big rolls, and we wondered what the F those were out in the hallway last week. Well, now we know.
Yeah, absolutely. That was part of the big renovation project here for the players. On one side of the locker room, there's a whole new nutrition area, and the cafeteria has been sort of spruced up. And on the other side, the weight room has been expanded a little bit. And as part of that expansion, there's going to be an area where they can actually do their workout on field,
right. Like
Andy just described, with some synthetic turf of some sort. And, you know, in the past, we've been sort of walking around in the concourse, the low level, you know, the field level concourse underneath the stands. And occasionally you'll see during the off-season workouts and such, players actually out there doing some sort of exercises and stuff, throwing the big medicine balls off the wall. Well, they don't have to do that anymore. They have some extra room inside their weight room and actual field turf to do it on, which is a good upgrade for all concerned. But
I don't think it's called a cafeteria. I think it's a dietetics center.
I think you are right. That's another example of me having to rein Andy Hart in already. He had 5 minutes.
The new nutritionist is an expert in dietetics.
Dietetics. That is correct.
Later in the show, we'll learn what dietetics are.
But some news to report from down in Tampa yesterday. A lot of different things happening. First and foremost, probably on the positive side, You had the official return of Daniel Fells and Sebastian Vollmer off PUP. They took part in the practice yesterday, which was a good sign. Some other players returning after some lengthy absences. Alfonso Dennard was one of them. Help me out, Andy. There was a couple others. Spencer Larson was one. I think there was a fifth guy who hadn't been practicing who was able to suit up, but that name is escaping me right now. On the negative side, no Patrick Chung. He got hurt in the Eagles game Monday night with what NFL Network described as a minor shoulder injury.
Well, the Patriots said it was a shoulder injury. They announced it as a shoulder injury.
Right.
And then NFL Network said it was a minor.
Minor injury. But for whatever the case may be, he was not able to practice yesterday and wasn't out there today either. Jabbar Gaffney remains on the sidelines as well with that leg injury that he suffered, sometime around this time last week, in training camp. And Tracy White remains away from the team. So, some of that stuff we'll try to check in with big time Fred Kirsch.
12:20.
Sometime
around
there. In the meantime, as always, you can get us a couple of different ways. You can send us an email at webradio@patriots.com. Again, that's webradio@patriots.com. And you can also give us a call. They stole my phone number.
It's 508-298-0398.
Wow. I did remember it after I panicked when I didn't see it over here for a second.
It's over here now.
So you can give us a call there. And what's the name of the line? Isn't there a line? Ace Ticket?
Ace Ticket. See what it says right here? Yeah. Ace Ticket.
Yeah. No, I can't actually because there's a big screen in front of me. So you can give us a call that way. And, Andy, your thoughts on, obviously good news getting some offensive linemen back. But I thought the story of the day yesterday involved that offensive line and the spirited defense that Dante Scarnecchia, which, by the way, all the offensive coaches were made available yesterday. Supposedly all the defensive coaches will be made available today. But I thought Dante's passionate defense of specifically Nate Solder and Marcus Cannon ruled the day yesterday.
And not just defense of poor play, but an expectation of good play. And I thought the quote, the glass is half full right now and filling up, was a good way to say it. You know, they're competing, they have talent, and they're getting better. You know, the expectation is that glass will be full at some point. That's at least the insinuation I had there. So he defended his group. Now, I would expect nothing less from a guy,
that's why he's such a good coach.
Well, I
seriously think
any coach defends his group, but for him, his entire coaching of the offensive line is a group mentality. We all are ready to go at any time. There is no drop-off. If you're the 10th offensive lineman or the first, I hold you to the exact same standard. It's a group mentality. Everything they do is group-driven, and he can't go out and say, you know, they stink, and I just don't know if they're ever going to be good. You know, he has to go out and be, you know, we were talking about it, you know, military-like in the offensive line. You know, I think he has to be the leader, and it's all for one, one for all, no man left behind. We're certainly not going to say Marcus Cannon can't play. Right. We're just going to cut ties with him. He's going to support that group. But I actually thought the story of the week for me was the Jonathan Finene cut. And, you know, everybody assumed he was on the roster, and everybody assumed he'd play sometime. And, I mean, when you give a guy a $4 million signing bonus to cut him, whatever it is now, 4 months later, 5 months later, even though we haven't really seen him. We saw him like the first couple days of camp. We saw him limited in OTAs and minicamp where he had a knee issue. Looks like this story could have legs and go kind of through the courts or the appeals process and grievances down the road. But I'm just looking at it from I think they were counting on this guy to be a sub-rusher and an impact player, and he's not on the team now.
Yeah, that is a huge deal right now. And the Patriots released three players, on Tuesday, and he was one of them.
Have to worry about Kyle Hicks or Hill because they're both gone.
Yeah, Kyle Hill was released, and Chris Copeland also was let go. But the Finene situation is very interesting. Oh, by the way, Hill and Copeland cleared waivers.
Okay, good.
Yeah, according to Ravens Insider.
Okay, good.
I thought that was kind of funny. But the Finene situation bears watching moving forward because I think it could get somewhat nasty. The Patriots released him, as Andy said, with that designation of failure to disclose a physical condition. And, he practiced 5 days. The first 5 days of practice, he was on the field. The last practice that he participated in was July 31st. According, you know, that's unofficial. That's according to my records, which, you know, as Andy noticed, sometimes aren't always the best. But, you know, there was some reports that he's dealing with an arthritic condition in one of his knees, and it's going to require arthroscopic surgery, which he could have, according to some, as soon as today. He passed two physicals with the team, Andy. That's the part that I kind of think is a little bit interesting. He passed the physical when he signed as a free agent in March, and he passed another one at the start of training camp. And according to Greg Bedard, good friend of the show, today, in the Boston Globe, he talked about the second one. He had some issues with the knee during off-season workouts, but then talked about feeling a little bit better as they went into the break before training camp, came in, passed the physical, no problem. As you mentioned, $3.85 million total in signing bonuses. I guess part of that, $1.35 million, I want to say, was deferred until next March, March 31st. Perhaps the Patriots have some ground to stand on here, but I think it's going to be an ugly situation if it comes to that, you know, with the grievance processes and stuff like that. But the bottom line for the Patriots is they're going to be without this player. Is it a big deal, Andy, to be without
Fanning? Yeah, I mean, I think he was maybe their biggest signing of the offseason due to the fact that the defense is your biggest weakness. Everybody would say Brandon Lloyd, but, you know, the offense is going to go from great to greater. The defense, this is a guy you expect to be an impact player on a defense that stunk last year, and now you don't have him. I don't think they have a ton of depth there. You know, we'll get into my roster projection later, but, you know, I don't think you have a ton of defensive linemen, interior defensive linemen, that are really worthy of making this roster. And, you know, that hurts. And they were counting on a Jarvis Green, Mike Wright, sub-rusher type guy, and now you don't have him. And, you know, maybe Justin Francis or one of these guys can take advantage of the opportunity, pick up the slack there. But this is a guy that's proven, you know, a couple 7-sack seasons in the league, proven that he can fill that role out when healthy, but clearly he's not healthy.
So he's not going to be around. And one other guy that I think a lot of people thought would be around, maybe he will and maybe he won't, that's Andre Carter. You know, he's had some workouts this week with at least two different teams, Oakland and St. Louis. Thus far, it doesn't seem like anybody's, you know, rushing to make him an offer. You got to think that's physical. He just can't be ready to play. I mean, right. I know he was asking, according to a Boston Herald report, he was asking for a lot of money in a longer-term deal. But I don't know if he's physically ready to play right now. It certainly doesn't seem that way, judging by Oakland and St. Louis's reaction.
No, I think it every day gets closer to what I expected. He's going to be a Patriot at some point this year. And I think this only helps that, because it's other teams reaffirming the fact that he's not physically ready to play. And that was, I think, one of the stumbling blocks for him returning here. When is he ready to play? How ready to play? Now maybe he realizes, now everybody notices I'm not really ready to play. He rehabs for another month, 2 months, whatever it is, till you get to that point. And when he's ready, he calls the Patriots, and I would think they'd be willing to bring him aboard. So I still think there's a good chance he could be back here.
Do you think, Andy, that the, I don't know what the right word is, but emergence of Chandler Jones as being a starting caliber player has affected the Patriots with regard to Carter at all?
I don't know whether it's affected them. I can't, you know, as Bill would say, I can't speak for them. It wouldn't affect me. I mean, they have no depth at defensive end, in my opinion. They have two borderline starters in a rookie that I still can't just assume is going to be fine, a 16-game starter, and Rob Ninkovich, who I have my fears about. Beyond that, I'm not overly comfortable. You know, I feel better about Cunningham after last week just because he flashed a little bit for the first time in his career. I feel better because he's a little bigger. You know, but I don't feel great about anybody on that defensive end depth chart. I would take him back in a heartbeat. And from his perspective, if I'm going to play a partial season, which maybe my last season in the NFL, or what am I? I'm playing it at a team that's going to compete for a Super Bowl. It's going to win games. I don't really want to go to the Raiders. I don't really want to go to the Rams. I don't want to be winning 6 games or 7 games when I can be winning 14.
That's a great point in terms of Carter's mentality. But I found it interesting that those teams, according to the reports that we've read, haven't really offered him anything anyway.
Right. And that may be it, too. Money-wise, he may be looking for more. Maybe he said, well, you know,
for you,
to go to St. Louis,
for you, it's going
to
be $5 million.
Right. And then to go to New England, it'll be 1.2 or whatever. So I'm not – I still think it ends up all along Andre Carter, whether it's 12 games, 10 games, whatever the number is, I think he could still be a Patriot.
I think you're probably right. I think that, as generally happens in these situations, injuries are the dominant factor. And I think at some point the Patriots, as you mentioned, Andy, the depth isn't really strong at defensive end. You lose one, or one gets nicked up, and all of a sudden you say, all right, you know what, let's bring him in now. You know, it's we're going to need a little bit extra boost there. And I think that at some point it probably gets done. But you also mentioned some roster projections, which are really starting to become
annoying.
The rave right now is next Monday, August 27th, will be the first cut down from 90 to 75. And for the Patriots, it's more like 86-ish, 85 to 75. And then
and just
on Friday, August 31st, is the final one.
That's the day also where can they make moves that day? Like they can put guys on IR without passing through waivers and stuff?
I believe that is the case. Yeah, okay. Well, that's the way it's been in the past. I shouldn't just automatically assume it hasn't changed, since it seems like so many of these little detail-oriented facts have changed. But as far as I know, you can use the lists at that first cutdown date, yes.
Okay. So
I don't believe that's changed.
Technically put, you know, Dennard, if he re-injures, you know, goes on IR as a – you know, somewhat attractive young player who some team might claim, I don't know, now you could just put him on IR.
You know, especially with a hamstring pull. I mean, that's reportedly the injury that he's dealing with. You know, if he tore his ACL, maybe you say, well, you know,
right,
I wasn't really sure on him. I'm not going to have him for a whole year. Now he's torn his ACL. You know, maybe you could get him by. But with a hamstring pull, I don't think you could get him through waivers. So that'll be interesting to have those cuts coming up. Andy did a quick 53-man projection yesterday that he posted on the blog.
Go read it if you want to talk about it.
I worked on one yesterday as well that will be part of next week's issue of Patriots Football Weekly.
But mine's the only one that matters.
And well, I know, because you said so. And seemingly everybody else is weighing in, and most of them are pretty similar, as you might expect. So we invite you to jump in. I don't want to see 53-man projections and emails, because obviously I'm not going to read 53 players. But, you know, we all know who the guys are that seemingly are, you know, on the bubble, or, you know, the Dan Copens, the Dante Stallworths. Some people think Jabbar Gaffney, Deion Branch, those kinds of receivers are not guaranteed. Matthew Slater, I'm starting to hear some buzz about. Gerard Warren, you know, we all know who the players are. The linebackers, the special teams linebackers are going to be interesting to see how Belichick goes there. So let us know what you think. Again, at webradio@patriots.com, let us know, you know, some of the guys that you have on your bubble. But, Andy, before we touch base with the fabulous Freddie, what are some of your takeaways from what you've been hearing out of Tampa the last couple of days? Jeff Dempse had a chance. We didn't even mention him. He had a chance to practice yesterday, first time. Anything stick out to you based on what you read from yesterday?
No, not really. The picture of
That's
Jeff
Dempse.
That's
a very Paul-like answer when you weren't ready for the question. That's what you do to me all the time.
Jeff Dempse, he's skinny. Even though he says he's only 5 pounds underweight at 183-ish or whatever. You know, just some photos we have in PFW that I saw come across my desk. His arms look skinny. He looks skinny. But taller than listed, people are saying.
Well, I saw Greg wrote that he looked taller than Welker.
Yeah, but then other people were even Woodhead. And then people are even saying that he was listed previously or somewhere else as taller than he's listed as 5'7", 191 for us. And somebody had a number from a combine or a something or this or that he was taller than that. So, you know, maybe he's not quite as tiny as we think he is, but I think he is just frame-wise. To me, he looks like a small guy, a Darius Butler-type frame or one of those guys. But I thought that was interesting, and I think the Chung thing is interesting to keep an eye on, because he, like Nate Solder to me, they don't really have a backup. They have now two guys that I think they're comfortable playing at free with Tavon Wilson and Steve Gregory, but, you know, I'm not sure they want to start, you know, ahead of Bo again. You know, he was a free more at times last year, but, and this Chung thing, you know, it's a shoulder that's minor, but I think anybody who watched the game looked at him and said, wow, he looks like he got his bell rung there. And I know Shalice Manza, Young of the Boston Globe, certainly kind of alluded to that fact. And it'll be interesting to see, because we know the MO with him. He's, you know, he has to prove he can stay on the field like a few other guys. And if he can't stay healthy in the preseason and you don't have a backup, all of a sudden this good feelings that the defense have of young guys flying around takes a hit.
All right, well, we promised that 12:20 we would check in with the Ace Ticket Hotline, and Freddie Kirsch is on the line right now. Fred, what's going on?
Hey, fellas, just down here in Tampa. Practice is done. We're about to go head back to the team hotel.
So you're all done with your access for the day, too?
All done. Everything's done.
Yeah. Now, the defensive coaches, I understand, were to be made available today? Did that happen?
And not really. Pepper Johnson, a couple people talked to him. I talked to Spikes a little bit. Stephen Ridley, Aaron Hernandez. Eric might call a little later. I'm not sure who he got. Fairly casual. Obviously, it's a lot like our training camp where the guys come off the field, and then the Tampa Bay guys have their locker room right here, so they get full locker room access. The press actually go in to their locker room to do their training camp access here.
Paint the rest of the picture. How impressed are you with the facility? We've seen some photos from Eric on the blog, but set the scene there for the 2 days of workouts and how impressive the facility is.
The facility is probably the best in the league, if not sports, for any one team. It's a huge building. Really gives you that Disney flavor where they have this huge football out front, like three stories high, made out of metal. They've got a flag, a Tampa Bay Buccaneer flag here, that is literally the size of a football field. I'm not kidding. It's impressive.
That's wowed our graphics people. They were working on photos, and they actually said it looked superimposed in the photos because it was so freaking big.
Yeah, it's so big. I told Stacey James, I said, I want one of those for our place. He goes, I don't know if a Buccaneers flag would be good at our place. Right. It's an excellent facility. They've got a patio with picnic tables and umbrellas outside so sponsors can sit and watch the practice. It's almost like a college booster atmosphere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Their lobby is like a museum where they've got all kinds of displays. They've got life-size pewter statues of John Gruden and the players behind him celebrating the Super Bowl. Really, really impressive. I guess each one of those statues was like $80,000 or something like that. So top-notch facility, three fields out back, although they don't have an indoor facility, which is interesting. But it's just really, really, really first class. Players lounge with pool tables, ping pong, you know, the video games. If you're a player, this is a great place to, come every week.
Okay, now that we've set the scene, I want to know the hubbub on Wes Welker. Why is he not practicing? What's circulating?
He was out there yesterday, so I'm not sure. I'll have to have Eric call in with the participation. We only saw the first 30 minutes of practice, by the way.
Right.
I don't know what happened, but early in practice yesterday, he was fielding kicks and punts. So I'm not sure what happened today. I'll have to refer to Eric on that.
Okay.
Did you get a chance, and I know, you know, it was only a half an hour, but, you know, the thing that Andy and I have been so anxious to see, Jeff Demp's run. Did you really get a chance, or did you get a feel to just see how fast he is?
Nope. Again, when I was out there, we were watching him field punts. We were, on one side of the field. Then, of course, they broke up into their unit drills going through the pads and all that stuff. But as far as flat-out speed, I didn't get a chance to see it.
Okay, how about flat-out size? Does he look, quote, too small?
No. He's about it. I was looking at him compared to Woodhead today. He's about an inch and a half taller than Woodhead. Woodhead's obviously thicker than he is, but just to get a sense of height. He is thin. He's all of 185 pounds, so he probably could, stand to put on 5 or 8 pounds, and I think his frame could handle that.
And you could give him some of yours.
But that's true. I'd be happy to. Although I don't know if it'd be in the right place, but,
Shoulders?
He likes fat shoulders.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, he could put on a few more pounds, but he is small, but he's not the smallest guy to ever play in the NFL, so we'll see.
All right. What else we got?
Apparently Paul didn't have a question. I figured I was dominating.
I was looking at, I just asked him about Demps, and then you asked a follow-up.
All right, what
Demps.
Have you seen from the Bucks? Obviously, I was, first of all, a little bit surprised with how Glowingly, Belichick not only talked about Schiano, but it seemed to answer a lot of questions from the Tampa media about, you know, a guy making the transition from college to the pros and the challenges he faces. What have you seen from sort of the atmosphere that Schiano has put in place for the Bucs?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was thinking that myself, like, really, how much does Belichick give him as far as how to run things? It seems like a lot because it's almost a mirror image of how they run their practices. Even how the media interacts,
mm-hmm.
You know, and how they treat their media. Not to say it's impolite or anything, but, you know, they really are kept at arm's length. There are strict rules about, you know, when you come to practice, what you do when you're at practice, what you can cover. And it's almost like, you know, Bill gave him the book and he followed it.
Interesting. Well, we'll see if it works, if they have the talent in place to maintain such an atmosphere. Because, you know, my belief, if you don't win, then a lot of that stuff can crumble.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and I think it would into the Patriots, too.
Right. No, that's what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. When you run that type of tight a ship, things can fall apart if you don't win. And, you know, like we talked about, it all comes down to those circle the wagon guys. If you have enough of those guys on your team, you can keep things together when things go bad, but you really have to rely on those guys.
You know, Freddie, another element that we were just talking about, changing subjects a little bit, was Patrick Chung, and he's not out there practicing. Is there any buzz, you know, among you media experts as to, you know, any long-term concerns here?
No, I mean, there's nothing being said about him. Strangely enough, or maybe not strangely enough, nothing was asked. You know,
so now you feel our pain.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, you probably don't know here, Belichick did his press conference at, like he does at our place, before practice. Schiano does his after practice, which is a little bit, you know, different than how we run things. So obviously yesterday no one asked, even today no one asked about Chung. So
how about I know he was asked about it and had nothing to add, but what have you picked up or, you know, hubbub from you or other media members about how this Fanene situation might play out moving forward?
Well, I mean, it's a mystery, and, you know, nobody knows exactly what's going on. My sense is they just got tired waiting for him, but, you know, that's to be determined how that story unfolds.
And it sounds like it could end up with a special arbitrator or something in terms of the money.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, the Patriots obviously felt he wasn't ready. Maybe he did. I don't know. Or maybe he thought he was close enough. But it sounded to me like the Patriots ran out of time and weren't willing to wait. And he feels he was unjustly terminated, probably.
Well, if you see Dr. Gill by the pool later when you guys are lounging, maybe buy him a couple beers and, you know, see what he has to say about the situation.
Well, interestingly enough, did you see the report that the Rams signed Vernon Golston?
Yes.
And that they had looked at Andre Carter, but they felt he wasn't physically ready.
Right.
I don't know if you guys heard that.
Yeah, we just actually talked about that. And for me, that lends me even more to believe he'll be a Patriot at some point. That
at some point,
it's
right.
Now backing up. You know, other teams have said, well, you're not quite ready. And when he is ready in a month or whatever it is, I think he'll decide, well, if I'm going to play a half a season, I might as well play a half a season in New England.
Right, with a team that has a chance.
Right,
sure.
Rather than go win five games in St. Louis or whatever.
That's, that's no fun
Bradford
when we all agree.
Yeah, Bradford will be fine. Don't you worry about that. All right, go get to some work, and that's find Dr. Gill by the pool and get him liquored up.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
Yeah,
all right.
And then just tell him that Andy and I wanted to know, and I'm sure he'll let you know everything.
Okay, guys.
All right, Freddie. Take care and safe travels. We'll see you in the wee hours, I guess, Saturday morning.
Saturday morning, right.
Oh, yeah, wait, whoa.
Hold on, Andy.
Whoa.
Just one last question. Is weather an issue now or going to be an issue between now and the game? Or are you guys flying back?
I think we leave before what they think might come in happens. It's more going to affect the Republican convention, from
right.
What I understand.
And you're happy about that.
Hey, you know what? They deserve it.
I knew you'd say something.
What?
All right,
oh,
we'll
I can't hear you. What? So that's Freddie from Tampa. Very impressive. We didn't mention that, but a very impressive setup they have there.
Yeah.
Bill was, you know, for him, effusive in his praise.
He just got a weight room that was bigger than a closet.
He even complimented the media area.
I just thought of something. If Eric calls in, do we have to listen to him say Schiano?
For, he says it like that?
Remember that? We went over that whole thing during one of the shows, how it's not pronounced properly.
Well, then we can't have him on the show if he's going to say
that. I just thought of that because Fred said the name.
I had no interest in having him on the show to begin with. I don't know how you guys
stick
feel.
With Fred. He was entertaining. Yeah. He said nothing, but he was entertaining in saying nothing.
Well, I mean, you know, we just happened to pick, I don't know, five different questions that he didn't have the answers to. What are you going to do? Well, you know what's hard, too, though, and you know, and Fred doesn't generally go to the press conferences, but he's learning that it's frustrating when there's elements of news that, and listen, we can share it with our listeners. They know. You know, we're under a little bit of a different kind of constraint than the Globe and the Herald.
Don't piss off Bill.
Patrick Chung's health situation might be something that's a little bit sensitive to the Patriots right now, and they're glad they're not getting questions on it. And that's why we don't really sit there and say, well, we got to go pedal to the metal here and find out what's up with Patrick Chung. But to me, it's somewhat surprising that nobody would, you know, wonder that. Okay, yesterday.
I don't find it surprising at all.
Yesterday it was before practice, so they didn't know for sure that he wouldn't be out there. But today he wasn't out there for practice yesterday. That should have been a question to me that should have been asked.
Yeah, but they're not all as perfect as we are, Paul.
Well, you know, we're far from it, but I just think that sometimes these guys, I don't know, they complain they don't get any information and then they don't ask.
I think it's
questions.
Interesting that flags are the story of the week. I criticize the tiny little ones we have to celebrate touchdowns now here at Gillette Stadium, and everybody's raving about the massive flags they have down there.
So some other news, not necessarily Patriots-related, but AFC East-related. Big hubbub in Jets land. Do you see that Wayne Hunter is out, right tackle, and they're going to start a gentleman named Austin Howard at right tackle? Just getting worse and worse there, seemingly by the day.
Apparently, there's not enough. You know, we always say there's not enough quarterbacks to go around. Apparently, there's not enough tackles to go around the NFL either.
Yeah.
Even though people keep drafting them, seems like every year six tackles go in the first round.
And that's the safe spot, right?
Right.
You know, and everybody always tells me that I'm crazy when I say that quarterback is, you know, any different than, you know, does it affect your team more if your quarterback busts out in the first round? Yeah, it does. Because you only have one of them and. You know, it's kind of hard to play without him. But,
I don't know. If Nate Solder busts out this September, it might affect your team because it might affect your quarterback.
But you could put somebody else in there is my point. With the quarterback situation, you're kind of in trouble.
Having his lungs emptied like Drew Bledsoe.
All right. See, now, again, I got to rein you in again. You know,
what?
Let's pump the brakes on.
Tackles can get quarterbacks hurt.
Yeah, they can. What's the point?
If this quarterback gets hurt, it all goes down the pisser.
I'm just saying, I don't really like the whole notion that the safe pick is the offensive lineman. You know, like, they don't bust. I mean, plenty of them do. They bust at every position, but,
I did see Eric Steinbach retired. Good to see an offensive lineman not in the Patriots system retire.
I hadn't seen that, but let's see
here. But, you know what the story is with him? He's the reason we have Dennis Dixon. No, Derek Dennis.
Dennis Dixon.
He's the reason we have Derek Dennis. They signed Steinbach.
I just made a critical error.
You talked to Eric.
No, strippers, you know, gave me something to pass along to Freddie while he was on the phone, and I Googled it, and bad mistake.
Oh. You saw Prince Harry's
No, but
scepter?
He was...
Scepter?
Junk?
He told me to...
Scepter.
To keep Freddie away from Mons Venus, which is, I guess, a very dirty...
You've never been to Mons Venus?
No.
Oh,
no.
Man.
I actually haven't either.
Isn't it like a strip club or something?
Yeah, but you don't go to those.
It's full contact.
Well, it was. They changed the rules.
Oh, it's not anymore?
that's why Paul doesn't go there anymore.
Well, I don't live in Tampa. If I did, it would be very damaging to my bank account.
Probably your marriage.
Yeah, probably. That
typical
is one of,
Paul. He's only caring about the money.
Strippers is correct. That is one of the elite places, or at least it was.
He was doing Bill a favor. I actually saw strippers tweeted out, like, all Patriots players, stay in the hotel tonight. Stay away from the strip clubs, blah, blah, blah. It's a notorious strip club city.
It really is. The two, Mons Venus and Space Odyssey, I don't know, 2001, I guess. I don't know what it's called.
Bucks should be able to sign any free agent they want, then. They have the best strip clubs, the best practice facilities.
Well, I remember being there. The first time I was at one of those places was in 97, and that was the famous mosh pit game for Bledsoe. Well, let's put it this way. I left before the majority of the Patriots starters the night before the game. So we had an idea that it might not go well. The next day, and it didn't. We asked for some roster predictions, so we did get one. Unfortunately, it's not signed, so I can't give credit
just
where credit is
address.
Due. I don't like doing the Fred Kirsch thing. Let's see. I've been enjoying curse words lately. It helps me to keep up when I actually can't actually watch the game. Thanks for doing that, Fred. He has a take on Mallett and Hoyer. And again, I'm not going to go through 53 players, but I thought he has a little info. He goes, he was happy to hear Andy backtrack on Mallett a little bit. I have always thought you were a little hard on him.
Probably.
First, neither quarterback had time with the first offense. Maybe we will see some of that on Friday, maybe not. I don't think you'll see that on Friday. Mallett, this is according to the email, I thought Mallett got better as the game went on. His passes, even when throwing short, were rockets, but his timing is off. So some of those rockets went to the wrong spot. I liked his attitude on the field. He missed a pass. He shook it off, got back in the huddle, and came out and gave it another shot. He didn't fold to the pressure. He took a couple of decent shots during the game, but still stood up to the pressure to make a couple solid passes like the one to Branch in the third quarter. Hoyer, I'm not impressed. First, I didn't like his attitude when things didn't go his way. There were a couple of passes he floated short to Ebner. I think he means Ebert. Then looked at him like it was his fault that he didn't make the catch. It certainly looked to me, after review, that he was running the right route and he didn't catch it because it was a crappy pass. Good use of the word crappy right there, I thought. Second, the way he throws short passes most of the time scare me. You can't slow float a ball on short routes. A good middle linebacker or even a defensive tackle will take those to the house. I'll summarize his 53. The big shocker is Matthew Slater is let go. Ebner's special teams ability makes him expendable. Slater. It's him or Edelman. I think Edelman gives us more to work with if there are injuries. I think Stallworth makes the team but is let go if Myron Pryor looks good coming off of PUP in 6 weeks. Brian Hoyer is let go or traded. It's a contract year next year, and he's not worth the money. Offer him up for a fourth or fifth. Based on your scouting report, you're not getting a fourth or fifth for him. But anyway, I think we run four tight ends, and Alex Silvestro sticks around to help Solder block, play fullback and linebacker if needed. Woodhead doesn't offer me anything that defenses can't defend. Much as I liked him, he's traded. Hey, Browns, or gone. I think Ron Brace beats Gerard Warren. Warren is just a phone call away. Tracy White is your new special teams captain and helps out at linebacker when needed. What do you think about some of those, Andy?
I think some of them are plausible, and I agree with some of the reasoning behind a lot of them. Like, Woodhead has never really been all that impressive to me. I don't think it's time right now to cut him with the youth at running back. I don't know that you really can go all in with that youth movement. Matthew Slater, I certainly have never really thought he was super valuable. I think he's a little overrated as a special teamer, and that's really all he brings. You know, he compares him to Edelman. To me, Edelman's a better receiver. He's a better defensive emergency player based on just his ability to tackle last year. And maybe most importantly, he's your only punt returner right now that I really want to put out there. So to me, Edelman is borderline no cut. The only reason I would say Slater makes the team is he's their special teams captain. I think they really like him as a special teamer. I think he's not in that Larry Izzo mold, but he's a couple steps down from that as a core special teamer. What were some of the others? Warren, I feel exactly about.
Yeah, I think we both said the same thing in our descriptions. You know, the Hoyer thing, you know, and I actually brought that up in my, you know, I had a short little explanation on every position when I wrote it. I don't think it would be completely out of the realm of possibility that they would trade him, because I don't think you're going to get anything for him at all. You know, obviously,
right,
moving forward, you're going to probably lose him as a free agent. You know, if you could get something for him, and they have established precedent that, you know, what you and I might not think is anything, they find value in a seventh, sixth, whatever.
And they're lacking depth in their draft picks.
Yes, and that's why I throw it out there just as a, you know, a remote possibility, maybe a 10% possibility. I don't think that Bill would want to go into a season with only two, not really have, you know, with Ryan Mallett being one of them, he hasn't really, you know, had a whole lot of developmental time yet. That might not be an ideal situation, but I wouldn't eliminate it.
I wouldn't either. Well, I never eliminate anything with Bill.
Yeah,
you know, you
true.
Talked about how, you know, all these are similar, the roster projections, except for three or four. They're all wrong. There's going to be moves that we go, huh, I really didn't see that coming, that Bill's going to make, whether it be keeping a guy you thought had no chance or whatever, numbers game, anything. Mallett, I agree, too, with his, he has that gunslinger in him. He can shake off the next play, I mean the last play, and just go for the next play, and he'll throw it in there. You talked about his outs. He's clearly not afraid to try to throw an out with a corner coming back on the ball. I probably was too harsh on him. I'm reactionary. And that performance in week one was one of the worst I've ever seen on any football field at any level by any quarterback. If that's reactionary, so be it. But I haven't seen the growth I'm looking for there. And some of that's the practice field.
I don't think he's anywhere near ready.
I think he looked good the other night because Hoyer was bad. Really, really bad. 10 of 20 looks good when the other guys, what was it, 5 of 17 or something like that? But back to the Hoyer thing, I don't think just the floating of the short passes is the problem. I think it's the floating of every pass that leaves his hand, floating of passes that are 10, 12 yards downfield.
He doesn't have the arm strength of Brady or Mallett. I don't know what you can do to necessarily change that.
Steroids.
Oh, well, you don't want to take it to an ugly place, but, you know, yeah, not surprisingly, you're willing to. Just want to apologize to Anthony. Evidently, we really offend him.
Who's Anthony?
I don't know. Says, I don't know. He's some guy who emailed the show.
Well, I didn't know if you meant Anthony, our guy in Florida.
Oh,
Anthony in Naples.
No. I'm a big Patriots fan, but every time I tune you guys in, you guys seem to be talking about everything but football. Too much comedy, more football, please.
Okay, well, don't tune
in. And that was before the show started that he sent that in, but, you know.
Yeah, don't tune in.
Yeah, I mean, when
Anthony, what do you call a deer with no eyes? No idea. What do you call a deer with no eyes and no legs? Still no idea. Now that's comedy for you, Anthony. You can't get that everywhere.
You don't have the other one you want to share?
If you want me to tell it, I'll tell it.
No, I don't. what do we have here? John.
Who's John?
I believe it's John and Lynn as I just knocked something over on
good
table.
Day for John.
Anthony, Gino to Zolak transition. They could have picked someone much duller to replace Geno's insight and color. This is, you know, the Limerick guy.
Yeah.
But the question I ask is how much time will pass till Fred dreams of Zolak's crawler?
Good use of crawler.
Bledsoe. Zolak used to walk around the locker room with a donut box and offer guys.
This is a take on the junk in a box Justin Timberlake skit.
Yes.
Claiming that Zolak did that 20 years earlier in the locker room.
When they opened the box, he'd have a little surprise for them.
That would really ruin donuts for me.
Oof. I'm trying to look for some more roster ones, but it doesn't seem like we've gotten too many yet.
Paul, my guy the last guy that made my team, Trevor Scott, took my final roster spot. I went through, did the whole roster, and ended up with one shy, and it came down to, in my opinion, Warren Scott, White, Allen, Barrett, Cole, Cope, and Copa. Cope is an interesting one for me. I have him cut, but the lack of depth at tackle and his unknown status due to injury, I think I won't be stunned if I see Copa makes a 53-man roster.
I put Copa back on the practice squad, and my reasoning was, you know, how much attention can an injured practice squad offensive lineman garner on the waiver wire with 1,200 other players? I think there's a chance that they could get him on the practice squad. And when he's ready, he provides depth at tackle. But I know we probably put too much stock into these little comments that we make. But, you know, when we talked about at the Super Bowl last year, when Dante said to, I asked him about, any of the young linemen that in particular that he was impressed with, and Copa was the guy. I find it hard to believe that an injury would eliminate that sort of optimism. For a
young
guy.
Just stunts his development.
Stunts his growth.
He misses all these reps.
Absolutely, absolutely. But that's why I think Andy and I are a little bit higher on Matt Copa than probably most. Jamal in Japan wanted to know, Andy, who would you put in your defensive line rotations if the season started tomorrow?
Defensive line rotate. Well, my starters are Ninkovich, Love, Wilfork, Jones.
Defensive line rotations.
So, who's my next tackle in line?
Yeah, I mean,
Ron
I guess.
Brace would be my next tackle in line.
Yeah, I guess
Justin
that's
Francis,
what he's looking for.
I think has a chance to do some versatile things as a sub rusher. as does Jake Beckett, as does Jermaine Cunningham. We've seen him lined up at tackle in some of those situations. And, you know, I thought he, as I said, flashed a little bit the other night. It'll be interesting to see if he can build on that moving forward. I don't think it's funny. I think I have somebody with seven DNs and maybe only three D tackles. Is that? Can't reach my thing.
I think I had five and five on my,
Ninkovich, Love, Wilford, Beckett. Oh, Dedrick. I have,
Well, see, Dedrick you could look at either way.
Right. But for my purposes, I put him in at tackle, because I think he can play tackle enough or well enough. But, you know, I think they're thin, and we should talk about Kyle Love. Got a contract extension yesterday. Would have been a restricted free agent after this year. Got a little money. I think it's 3.1 it can top out at. Got a $500,000 signing bonus. Obviously, he would have been tendered at $1 million and change next year anyway. Maybe more than that, as a guy that's developed into a starter now for this team and one of the few counted on defenders week in and week out. But there's not a lot of depth. The depth up front is concerning. I mean, God forbid you lose Vince Wilfork. You know, and I know we don't even consider that because he's been almost as durable as anyone.
He is a pretty durable guy.
God forbid you lose him.
That would be a significant loss.
That would blow.
Then you look at the other way. You know, you talk about depth, and then you get to the Andy and Paul sarcasm meter. The other guys sort of interchangeable, so if you lost one of them, probably wouldn't be all that hard to replace because you have a guy that's kind of similar who wouldn't be starting. Now, you know, I'm exaggerating to make a point. I'm not saying there's no difference between Trevor Scott and Chandler Jones. There is. Chandler Jones is clearly more talented and well ahead of him right now in the depth chart. But my point being, you don't have anything that can even reasonably fill
established, right.
Vince. And I think that you do on the other guys. You probably could get by. I think a guy like Dedrick, who you bring up, is a valuable guy. Maybe Justin Francis in terms of sub packages is kind of like that. And, you know, poor man's, you know, he's an undrafted rookie free agent. I'm not losing sight of that, but we've seen him inside a little bit. We've seen him use Jermaine Cunningham inside a little bit. So maybe that versatility might earn a guy like Francis a roster spot. You know, other than that, there is a little bit of a concerning lack of depth there, and
that's
you're gonna
why
go,
you sign Gerard Warren when you need to.
And that you have him, you know, who knows if you have Carter down the line. You know, I Myron Pryor, I think, is insurance coming off PUP. He's the lone guy left on PUP. I think there's a chance that he opens the season there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a good insurance policy 6 weeks into the season. But depth, you know, I think you're right about that. The lunch is here, however, so we know what time that means. And Kevin is back in the booth, so we're going to take a quick break and return with some more roster projections.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. BIOS available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
Meet Sarah, mother of two teens, Todd and Laura, who are going back to school with the latest smartphones from Verizon.
With Facebook and email, I just feel more connected.
They get the Oxford Dictionary app,
so they can prep for their SATs.
And she feels good about the family budget.
Two smartphones and a tablet, all on one data plan.
Sarah chose the new Verizon Share Everything plan with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and shareable data that connects up to 10 devices. Plus, use your Verizon smartphone as a hotspot at no extra charge. And now get $100 off select Motorola 4G LTE smartphones like the Droid Razr. Now only $99.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card and $50 instant savings. With Verizon, life just got easier for Sarah and her whole family. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com/sale, or call 1-800-256-4646. Requires new 2-year activation. Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing? Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I've heard her part. Knows her part.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about 4 at the discos.
I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
That one never gets old. No, probably does for Andy, because he never heard any of those songs. But if you haven't heard, we're back.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers.
We're back on PFW in progress. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, otherwise known as the A-Team, taking you to 2 o'clock Eastern, talking about all things. That is making noise, Andy. Thank you. Talking about all things Patriots, and one of the things that we're talking about a little bit today is, you know, some early roster projections next week. It will be the final cutdowns. A week from tomorrow will be the final cutdown, at least for now, to get down to 53.
Well, those are what I love. Bill Belichick's final 53 lasts for like a day before.
Oh, a day. It's more like
an hour. The waivers and everything. And
so, obviously, there's a lot of work to be done, and Andy took a stab at it yesterday. I took a stab at it for the paper that will be published next week, and it's nice to see our emailers at webradio@patriots.com taking a stab at it as well, Andy. One of them here is Billy. Notice that Andy left Brandon Bolden off his 53-man projection. I've liked the way he's run. Can you explain your reasoning behind that? Also, should we read anything into Ridley not receiving any carries until late in the game against Philly? That's from Billy.
I would not read anything into the latter, personally. I still think he has the chance to be the team's lead back. As for Bolden, I think he's looked good at times, but he hasn't been really, really good, in my opinion. And I think you can get him on the practice squad. I don't think anybody's going to claim him. And I think you develop him. To me, he's not good enough to be on your 53-man roster right now. He's not good enough to say, I could put him out there and play him.
Yeah, I had the same projection. I have him on the practice squad, and I think there's something there worth developing. I think he's shown some promise, and he has some ability, no question about it. I think he takes a path much like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Practice squad. That's where Ben Jarvis Green Ellis started his rookie year. Maybe he ends up on the active roster at some point, but I agree. Right now, I think there's better football players to be included among those 53 than Brandon Bolden. Not saying anything negative about him, but I just don't think he's quite physically ready.
I am saying negative.
I don't think
about
he's. I think there's
perfect.
Other players that are better.
He's dropped too many passes. He's had some runs that I question his decisions. To me, he hasn't made me keep him with what he's done.
And all that said, I was encouraged by his ability to put a bad play behind him immediately the other night in the preseason game when he muffed the punt and then he came back minutes later and made a nice play in coverage on special teams. So that's a good sign. That's what you need. You're looking for that. Does he put his head down and feel sorry for himself, or does he put it behind him and come back and make a play? And he did the latter, and he's to be commended for that. So,
but a lot of fans do seem to want to keep him on the roster.
Yeah, no, he seems to be a lock in a lot of the.
He's very popular.
The ones that I've seen, I just don't think. He's not even my last back off the roster. I would say that if there's another back that's going to make it, it'll be a fullback over him. I think that they have the four running backs, and if they keep another one, I think it comes down to Catani or Larson, probably over Bolden. But you know, what do
we? Is there any chance Demp's not on the roster? Like they just go, wow, he's not really a football player that we think.
Yeah, I would find it hard to believe that they do that in such a limited time. Now, the only way I see that happening, we talked about this a little bit last night on Comcast. You can have the little horn playing in the background. Andy will be on tonight on Uno Sports Tonight, by the way, at 6:30. Early one? No, late one? Ooh, that's a tough break. So 10 o'clock tonight for those of you interested in seeing Andy on Uno Sports Tonight. Last night we talked about that, and that question was posed to me, and I said the only way I could see it is if they just don't think he's ready to do it yet, and they say, you know, we'll get him the Hellenic hamstring, and we'll put him on IR. I don't think there's any prayer of him getting through waivers. I mean, by all accounts, all the teams were interested in him, and the Patriots got him. So I don't think he makes it through waivers.
And Tampa would have an early shot at him.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was supposedly his decision was New England over Tampa.
So I don't think that they just cut him and try to get him on the practice squad. I think that's unrealistic. And I also think, Andy, doing what the Patriots are going to be probably asking him to do is not something that requires a tremendous amount of experience / development. I think they're going to ask him to return kicks. And there is some scheme to returning kicks. I'm not eliminating it as just, you know, a total athletic play with no rhyme or reason to it. There is some scheme involved, but it's not to the extent where he's going to need to learn an offensive system. So I think that they could put him out there at the very minimum to return kicks right off the go. And if he's not ready to do it, you know, physically, he's not up to par. You know, he hasn't played football. So he might be a little bit sore, say, this time next week, and just not be ready to start the season. I think they find a way to put him on IR.
I have a Demps-related quick response to some a-hole on Twitter. I forgot who it was exactly, but last week when I was kind of hyping up the pregame social and some of our discussion points, and we'll talk about will Jeff Demps, could he play tonight, some a-hole responds with, well, it's going to be hard since he's in Tampa. Oh, really? Would you like to revisit that question? Because where was he on Monday night, Paul?
He was in uniform on the sideline at Gillette Stadium.
Oh, so he wasn't in Tampa? Know-it-all a-hole? If you're going to have an attitude, you're Eric Scalavino, if you're going to have an attitude, you should be right, you moron, and you were wrong, dead wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I would say that not only was he not in Tampa, as some people, but he was in uniform and eligible to play. And on the practice field on Wednesday, he took part. So the whole three-day thing.
Go F yourselves, everybody.
You know, maybe.
PFW right again.
Maybe Paul
bitches.
And Andy had a little bit of some info that we were, in the right on.
So maybe you should listen to us, a-holes.
Okay, another email here from another person who does not sign it.
Another email here from another person.
Who doesn't sign it. Who I said who doesn't sign it.
Well, what's the email address? From now on, we're giving out the email address if you don't sign it.
Hey guys, just wanted to send you a quick note and recognize you for your work on CSNNE, which I just previewed for Andy tonight. I go there quite often for my constant Boston fix between Patriots.com, CSNNE, and PFT. I get a decent fix. And I had to say, you two, Pro Football Talk, I assume.
Oh, you don't get good information.
And I have to say that you are easily the best two guests they have on the show. Congratulations on the Uno win, Paul. And Andy, in my opinion, when PFW came in first and second, there were no losers other than the CSNNE hosts. Ha ha.
No, just the losers that voted for Paul.
Got to say, though, what is with that Newman Seinfeld-looking guy? I'm not sure I know who that is.
Maybe Newman's Gresh. The fat guy, right?
Yeah.
So the fattest guy on that show is Gresh.
He seems like the kind of person whose debate tactics are talk louder and louder. Yeah, that's got to be Gresh.
Oh, is that me?
Anyway, excited to hear about so many folks coming back from PUP. Fells, Vollmer, Ahedebo, Larson, Wilson, Dennard, etc.
I have a question real quick.
Okay.
Did you find it, like, so am I to read that Vollmer participated in the walkthrough on Sunday? Because Bill kept saying, you know, Vollmer has started practicing and Fells will. When he was talking on, what day is, yesterday in Tampa.
Based on that, I didn't see that.
But yeah,
based
he kept on that differentiating, comment, like almost cutting himself off a couple times to say, you know, and Fells will.
Based on that, I would say what you're right. You're okay. I don't know how else to, yeah, I can't really think of another way to look at it. He must have been out in the field and Fells hadn't been yet.
Okay, proceed.
Let's see, where are we now?
Somewhere near the end, I hope.
Looking to Demps to building on his sprinter-like conditioning. I hear Fears wasn't exactly happy that he got tired after two runs. But on the positive side, Fears also said Demps was the fastest guy he'd ever coached. Awesome potential there. Anyway, keep up the good work, fellas. Congratulations again, Paul and Andy. Go Pats.
That sounded like a woman.
It could be, but
it had a female tone to it.
Here, let me ask you this.
Or it could have been Eric, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. Ivan Fears saying that Jeff Demps is the fastest player he coached. Just looking at the Red Sox, the Patriots, you know, running backs of the past, and they've had some good ones with Ivan Fears. None of them would really stand out to me as being overly fast. Corey Dillon,
Antoine Smith probably ran like a 5-flat.
Antoine Smith, Lawrence Maroney was.
Fears wasn't
Lawrence Maroney was probably the fastest one.
Probably. One of these. I mean, how fast is Woodhead straight line? Or I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying that this.
He's
is
never had a speed burner.
I don't want to discredit Jeff Demps.
And he still may not, by the way.
He's a world class, athlete. I mean, he can run at an Olympic level. So I'm not discrediting the fact that he's the fastest guy, but it's kind of faint praise.
Well, I don't think he's including Bethel. Because we talk about Fears always is the returner coach is always with the returners.
If he's including Bethel Johnson, then I think it carries more weight. That's exactly the guy I brought up last night when we were talking about
this. Well, he's the fastest guy ever.
Yeah, and if this guy runs faster than that on a football field, then that is truly eye-popping speed.
Even better if he
because
can do it and make people miss.
As maddening as Bethel Johnson was and as inconsistent as he was and just frustrating in every way that a football player could be, the man could flat-out fly. And I haven't seen any Patriot run like him before or since, really.
And hopefully we'll get our chance soon to see Jeff Demps do that.
Let's see here. Mark is
next
up.
By the way, Jeff Demps looks bigger when they show the photos of him celebrating with his 4x100 relay team. It's all about perspective. You put him around a bunch of other 160-pound guys, and he looks fine.
You put him next to Solder and Vollmer, not so much.
Or even Ridley and Vereen, who are stocky and packed on
I
pounds.
Just thought it was funny, the whole thing with the fastest guy that he's ever coached. And I was limiting it to running backs. And I just don't think the Patriots have had very many. I mean, even Kevin Faulk, for as shifty and dynamic as he's been as a playmaker, as that third down guy, is not really a burner.
God,
and
no.
Hasn't been for a long time, really. I don't think he ever really got his speed back after he broke that ankle way back when, in like 2000.
Side tangent, Seahawks uniforms are ugly, huh?
Oh, man, they are terrible.
Okay, proceed.
Any other referee-related bashing that we should carry on? You hear anything? No?
No, should I?
No.
Oh.
I'm just wondering. That seems to be a topic that we've discussed every show.
Well, no, the only thing now is, yeah, I guess they've been okay, But as everybody will tell you, there's a difference between a game when the players are just trying not to get hurt and a game when they're trying to win in the regular season. That speed really picks up, and you're going to see, and all these guys coming together after every blah, 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 blah. That's like the new rallying cry of the people defending the real officials and everything is, you know, when the regular season speed hits, they're not going to be able to keep up.
Yeah. You know, listen, I've been saying it all along. These guys aren't up to speed. They're not up to par. They're not good enough. But I think the amount of criticism they're going to face is unfair because it's not going to be as bad as they make it out to be. And think mistakes that are going to get made are going to be magnified, and when the same mistake could have been made by the regular crew and it would go completely unmentioned. Mark is next up. Mark and Cheddar. Hey, Hall of Famer and international BBC personality.
That's me, not Eric.
Right. After the first preseason game last year, Taylor Price was on the cover thanks to a 105-yard receiving effort, including a very nice catch for a touchdown.
Was it the Price is Right?
Recently, I thought of him and wondered how he is doing in training camp with the Jaguars this year. Andy, do you know how he is doing? He is already on IR for the 2012 season. I kind of feel sorry for him.
Me too.
Yes, he is on IR. You are correct, Mark. Has Fred heard about Prince Harry having his crown jewels on display in Vegas?
Crown jewels.
I am guessing he was the first person to Google his junk.
Did you see those?
I have not. I heard about it, but I haven't.
I want to go see the bimbo, obviously. They played strip billiards, and apparently they're both naked and caressing and hugging each other. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. The guy is not anybody of any importance.
He's never going to be either.
No, but beyond that, like, that whole structure is just a facade. It's not
right.
Like a... So it's not like the guy who's going to decide whether we push the button on nuclear bombs or something. And he's young, right? Isn't he relatively young?
Oh, yeah.
He's in his 20s, right?
Yeah.
I don't say... The one thing that is wrong with it is it got out. I have no problem with him enjoying himself. There's nothing against strip billiards. Two consenting adults playing a little strip billiards.
But it doesn't... You know how those things work, though.
Stupid. You know what my criticism would be? If I see the photos and she's not hot.
Right.
She doesn't because you're the freaking cans. Prince of England.
If she doesn't have big enough cans,
right.
Will be your argument.
You should be playing strip billiards with a hot chick. And if she's not hot, I'll be disappointed.
I'm sure you'll find it later when you Google it. Anyway, I have a question for the two of you. A topic from a few months back about Super Bowl ring or Hall of Fame got me thinking. Do either of you recognize the name Scott McCready?
Oh, yeah.
Speedy McCready.
Speedy McCready. The legend in NFL Europe and spent a couple camps here, and yeah, he won a Super Bowl ring with the Patriots.
If not, he was a wide receiver on the Patriots practice squad during the 01 and 02 seasons. Even though he never made the active roster, he has a Super Bowl ring from Super Bowl 36.
He's on a lot of pictures, I believe, when the field goal's good and there's that famous picture with, like, Stephen Neal jumping. I believe McCready's on the sideline in street, like, a Patriots shirt, too, watching in that picture.
All right. I'll have to check that out because I don't recall the one you're talking about. Because of this, he became the first Brit to ever win a Super Bowl. For a few years, he was a regular analyst on the Sky Sports Studio for their NFL coverage in the UK, and always wore his Super Bowl ring as a request from the producers of the show. My question is, would you show off your Super Bowl ring if you were like McCready, or just keep it at home, knowing it's a great memento? I personally would be too awkward to keep wearing it, knowing I was never on the active roster. Thanks, Mark from Cheddar.
I would wear it in that situation.
If I were him, I would
wear
it. If
I'm a Brit, I'm in a country that hasn't developed. I don't even know. I mean, who's the best player to come out of England? Is it him?
I don't know.
But, I mean, in all seriousness.
What cookies you have in there, fat boy?
If I'm Scott McCready and I'm doing it in the U.S., no. But I am one of the better players. There's very few people in England, he's the first, that have a Super Bowl ring. Why would I not showcase that?
No,
I've reached the height of where I'm broadcasting.
I'm with you. Now, you know, for Andy and I, just as being, you know, employees.
Yeah, that's lame.
That to me is lame.
And he earned it. He fulfilled the duties that they asked him to do as a member of the organization that year and for a couple of years.
And it's an accomplishment. I mean, people just dismiss the fact that he wasn't on the roster. You know, it's funny because we actually got, tell a quick story. We actually got an email
stories.
This week, Andy and I, who wanted to know how they could go about trying out for the practice squad. And I think it was legit. I think this guy legitimately wanted to come to Gillette Stadium to try out for the practice squad. Well, the guys that are on the practice squad are professional football players. They, you know, presumably have played, most of their lives in an effort to get to the National Football League. And to be on the practice squad is not, you know, some small achievement. I mean, Speedy McCready, you know, God bless him. Well, I think that's the way people look at it, is Rudy. Well, he just wanted to play so bad, and he wanted to help them out in practice. That's not how the practice squad is in the NFL. Anyway.
I would have gone National Football League there. That's what Bill would have said.
And he would have thrown a now.
In the National Football League now.
Now. All right, let's get
Although
back.
Although, did I tell you my... Yeah, I told you. I don't think I shared it on the air. Little-known CBA small print that teams can actually carry a ninth member of the practice squad.
Oh, yeah.
If the person is an international, his previous address and residence must be outside of the U.S., they can carry an extra international member of the practice squad for an extra year. He can do that for 1 year, and then he can still have his three regular years of eligibility on the practice squad. And his pay does not count towards a salary cap. So in this day and age, McCready could have fulfilled that, right? Could have been on the practice
based
squad
on that
as an
explanation.
International guy. Maybe that's like the Scott McCready rule.
Based on that explanation, sure.
So Mark and Cheddar, stop looking down your nose at Scott McCready.
I want to get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and hit up Steve in Atlanta. Steve, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
We're doing great.
Hey, I was listening to you guys talking about the defensive line.
Yeah.
And my question is, do you think that the Patriots are going to switch back and forth from 4-3 to 3-4? And if they do switch to 3-4 at times, who do you like at the linebacker position and even defensive ends at that outside linebacker spot? So I'll let you go, and if you could just give me your opinion.
Okay. Well, I don't think they're going to play much 3-4 unless it's necessitated out of injuries or complete and utter ineptitude in the 4-3 or something of that measure. I think they are now completely a 4-3 football team, as they were for a lot of time last year, but even more so this year. But if they do go 3-4, I think you have your three linebackers you have now and add Ninkovich. I think there's a good chance you would it's hard to say, but I would probably say you'd have Hightower and Ninkovich on the outside and Spikes and Mayo on the inside in the 3-4. And then you'd have Will Fork probably at an end with Kyle Love and the nose, and then maybe Dedrick as your other defensive end up front. Now, obviously, there's some moving parts and some other options, but that would probably be what I'd say. Hightower, Mayo, Spikes, Ninkovich across the linebacking core, and then, Jermaine Cunningham might be in the mix and some other guys. That would be my starting line.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me, but I also agree with your larger point about the 4-3. I think they sort of made a change.
Oh, yeah.
I think that they still want to have that flexibility to be able to just sort of change on the fly and do something maybe game plan related without wholesale changes personnel wise. But I think they're a 4-3 base team now. And we all know, you know, it's become a cliche now. They're not in the base defense all that often.
Right.
So, you know, we can go on from there. But I'm going to stick with the Ace Ticket Hotline. Right now, we're going to go up to Old Orchard Beach, Maine. Ian, you ever been to Old Orchard Beach?
Nope.
Really?
Should I?
Oh, well, it's kind of fun. You're a South Coast guy. That's a long way. Roy, how you doing? How's life up in Old Orchard Beach?
Not too bad, gentlemen. Not too bad. How about yourselves?
Great.
Doing all right. No Eric today. You're getting along well.
Nice. Listen, quick question. Given their running back situation, okay, now you have, Ridley, Vereen, Woodhead, Olden, and then the fullback.
Yep.
Given any kind of devastating injury to any one of them, say Woodhead, Ridley, does that merit a potential phone call to Kevin Fultz?
I don't think so. You know, I think they have some depth there because of the – I think these guys are more versatile than they've been in the past. I think Ridley is showing a little bit of an ability to play all three downs. I think Vereen clearly has the receiving ability, but I also think has some options as kind of an early down back. So I don't think you would. You have Bolden, who's developmental. You even – I mean, a guy like Katani, whether he's around on the practice squad or whatever, I think he could carry the ball a little bit. I think they've kind of decided Kevin Falk, you know, didn't really have anything left and were ready to move on from that.
Right, right. Makes sense, given all the years.
Yeah, no, I mean, in an extreme emergency, I'm sure they would call him.
Yeah, if you lost multiple guys,
but
the one guy.
But maybe Sammy Morris is even ahead of him on the emergency list.
And I think it would depend on where the injuries took place. If Ridley were to get hurt, I think Sammy Morris would get a call first. But if maybe, you know, you lost Vereen and Woodhead, you know, maybe Kevin Falk would get the call.
Sure.
And don't forget Jeff Demps is probably in that mix too, Roy.
Right, right. Didn't think of that either. Right, because, I mean, Falk says he'd like to. He feels ready.
Oh, yeah, he's dying for it. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's almost gotten to the point where it's a little uncomfortable and sad that he really wants to come back and they haven't made any overtures to bring him back.
And he's one of my, you know, one of my favorite guys, too. He's been a real pleasure to cover and deal with every day. But I think Andy's characterization is accurate. I think at this point the Patriots have sort of moved on and feel like they have younger options that can do as good, if not a better job.
Or other options. I mean, Ryan Grant's still out there. It sounds like Ryan Grant's former backup, James Starks, could get cut in Green Bay. And
really?
He's cut.
After supposedly going to be huge?
Well, he's got a bad case of turf toe.
Oh.
So he's damaged goods. And, you know, I see everybody kind of blowing Ted Thompson for having this deep roster where the toughest decisions ever. And they're saying Starks could be out. And
wow.
I don't know the injury, but I'd be interested in bringing him here because I think he's an intriguing back, as most fans know.
Definitely, definitely.
Anything else, Roy?
No, no, gentlemen, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks for chiming in.
Rock on, Roy.
We're going to stick one more.
Getting a lot of calls today. You know what that tells me?
The A-team is eliciting phone conversations.
No, it tells me people think the show was sucking and they needed to call and take part.
Okay.
That's what I think our fans do, because I think we have good fans who are interactive, and they say...
But we have a ton of emails,
when,
too.
When they're not doing a good job, I got to call in. When they're doing a good job, I'll just listen and be entertained.
No, it's boring when there's only two of us.
That is true, especially when one of us is you.
Right now,
Mr. CSNNE.com, most valuable personality.
I'm giving the Fred Kirsch stare at Andy Hart right now.
Who'd you beat in that race, a rock?
Yeah.
Actually, me.
Yeah, exactly. Melvin in Tennessee, tell Andy Hart to shut up.
I couldn't help but to start laughing. That was pretty funny. I can't stop with that.
But he actually made fun of himself. Did you pick up on that? I beat him.
I always make fun of myself. I can do that.
I heard that, but that was awfully funny. I'm sorry about that.
Thanks, Melvin.
But I just had to ask you all. I sent in the email, and I had to ask also, like, what I read Andy's projected roster, and I wanted to know about Alfonso Dinner. What about him just impressed you so much to make you want to put him on the roster? I don't know if he's kind of, I don't know if he's like a Patrick Chung kind of injury prone type player, or I just wanted to see what you thought about him and why you put him on the roster.
Done very little to impress me because we've seen very little. I like his build. He looks very stocky, and obviously you're talking about a guy who played at a very high level in college and some people think was an early round pick if it weren't for the off-field incident. That's a keeping by me, almost considering him a second round pick. Not saying, oh, this is a seventh round pick that I can flippantly cut. But he's had the hamstring injury and we haven't seen much. So that's purely, I think he's a young cornerback that could develop on a team that I think still needs to develop some cornerbacks.
Okay. I understand that. All right. Y'all have fun, man. I'll see you later.
All right. See you, Melvin. All right. And as Paul said, because of his resume, I'm not sure you can sneak him through waivers or not as things come down here. So that's a projection. And part of it is I don't feel great about the corners. You know, the Sterling Moore honeymoon may be a little bit over. I haven't seen a huge jump from Devin McCourty. Razi Dowling, to me, has taken steps backward on the depth chart the last couple of weeks. And in my opinion, still looks like Tabucky Jones, a big stiff cornerback who I'm not sure can cover.
Yeah.
And Kyle Larrington is what he is.
You know what the worst part about the Tabucky Jones comparison to me is for Dowling is he's this skinny Tabucky Jones. You know, the one thing that T could do was he could muscle up with you. T-Buck.
T. I know you guys were that tight. You
I
hang
liked
out
him.
In East Hartford or whatever it is, North
Hartford. Hard hitting from New Britain.
New Britain, wherever the hell it was. Where'd he take his kids to prove to him that like most black people don't
boys,
have good lives?
Some and, Boys and Girls Club or something like in Hartford or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He tried to like
he called
beat
them,
the privilege
he called
out of
them him. Pudding pops. His kids were growing up soft. They were pudding pops. But anyway, he wasn't a great player. By no means am I trying to make him out to be something
he's
he wasn't.
Franchise safety.
But he was a very physical player and could muscle up. And I think that Dowling tries to play like that, but I'm not sure he's big enough to do it.
Yeah.
I mean big enough, thick enough. You just lost your train of thought right in the middle as you were watching something else.
Hauschka, or whatever, the guy from the Neskek. The kicker. He's in Seattle.
Okay.
In an ugly uniform.
So what do you think?
Of what?
Dowling.
I've never been in love with him. I don't think he can cover. The whole theory of, okay, he's a big corner against big receivers. Well, you don't always get to cover big receivers in this NFL. As Bill says, they're all moving. You have to be able to do everything. And I see him struggle with quickness, speed, fluidity, everything off the line. That worries me. And therefore, I would keep Dennard because I think he's a developmental cornerback on a team that needs developmental cornerbacks.
Alex in Maryland has some observations from Monday night. The Eagles game. A few things that stood out, both good and bad. I was impressed with Deion Branch, Cunningham, and Hightower. However, I was really unimpressed with Solder and the rest of the offensive line. We have no depth at tackle. If Vollmer goes down, which he will in all likelihood, then we are screwed. Do you guys have any solutions to this problem, potentially trying someone else at tackle or any player off the street that you would be interested in? Max Starks, Jeff Ota, Chad Clifton? Finally, do you guys do a fantasy league that listeners can get involved in? And if so, how do I join? Keep up the great work.
There is a fantasy league that we don't get involved in, but right. It's all PFW in Progress fans. Head over to PFWinProgress.com. Great website. Should be in the chat area, maybe. You'll find it on there. I hope they haven't drafted yet, but you should still be able to get in. They will hook you up. As far as tackle, I am going to throw a name out there. I'm just going to throw it out there, Paul. We'll throw it out there.
What is it?
Bill Belichick said there's a guy in this team that can play all five positions. We pay him about $50 million. Logan Mankins. Maybe you say, Logan, I got to ask you to earn your money more than you even knew.
Obviously, the precedent has been set. He
right.
played left tackle last year in place of Matt Light briefly before he left the game with an injury.
I got to think he's better than some of the forced veteran options on the open market.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about Chad Clifton a little bit. There was reports that the Patriots had some interest there and planned on bringing him in.
There was no truth to those reports.
The Patriots have denied those reports. Not sure that, you know, any of the other guys are options. To be honest with you, I don't even know what Jeff Ota, what his
situation is. Didn't he get traded to the Jets and then the trade got reneged because he was hurt?
He's that guy, right?
I thought that was he was.
I mean, I know it was the Panthers, but you're probably right.
How would you
that's
feel
not an option, then?
If week three, Soldier's sucking, Vollmer got hurt, and they all of a sudden just say, okay, they move Soldier to right and Mankins to left, and we obviously know they have a bunch of bodies on the inside.
Wait, Vollmer's out?
He's going to be out at some point.
Then I wouldn't feel great about the situation.
You don't think Mankins can play left tackle?
Oh, no, I think that he could probably do an adequate job at tackle, but I wouldn't feel great about it, no. I have a lot of respect for Mankins. I think the guy's just flat out, he's a football player. And I think he would find a way
but if he's not
to get
good,
the job done. But
now you've lost an all-pro guard get an okay tackle.
So I wouldn't feel good about that situation. Plus, you have to now bring someone in to play guard, and I'm not sure that would be a great situation.
I'd always rather bring someone in, though, to play guard than tackle. I mean, especially McDonald, Wendell,
Bill
Thomas,
that.
These guys. You always get a guard.
But
the first round.
The other possibility, you know, and I know that a lot of the attention has been on Nate Solder. Is there a
possibility? What if you just move Cannon to guard?
Oh, what if you just flip flop the tackles?
Was that serious?
No. You don't think that that's an. I mean,
I think Vollmer's
played left tackle.
I think the only person who's played tackle worse than Nate Solder has been Marcus Cannon.
No. Vollmer.
Oh.
Being Vollmer.
Oh, wait, what?
No, I don't want Marcus Cannon to play tackle.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Oh,
we had our lines
crossed. So Solder
there.
At right side and Vollmer at left?
Yes.
That's fine for the two games he plays. Then what do you do?
You're really, really negative.
Do you think you can get a full season out of Sebastian Vollmer? You're Mr.
No,
back injuries always come back.
I don't
That's why they're called back injuries, because they come back.
I don't think that you can rely on him to get 16 games under his belt. I don't think you can rely on that.
16? I'd like to get 12.
But if you're really 10. Concerned about Solder, is it an option to flip-flop them?
I guess, but isn't that like, you know, putting a finger in the dike when you need a patch?
Wow.
No, I'm being serious. Isn't that just like, it works for a couple weeks. Okay, yes, we've pushed it off, but it's not a solution. It's a temporary Dyke plugging.
Oh, I hear you. Paulie in L.A. wants us to keep up with the funny and the fun.
Yeah, screw that other guy.
All mixed in with Patriots talk. He's working on a job that has him flying up to San Francisco for the day to spend with the 49ers. You think he can get Moss to sign a jersey? I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Yes. He did. He did. He
you know what a dyke is, right? It's got nothing to do with what your potty brain is thinking about. Oh. Dimwit's talking to me in the part that where you can't hear me. So they could. I was good because you were making a lot of noise with your mic. It was like squeaking and everything.
Okay, I want to take a few more emails before we take another break
so
here.
So what did that sound like to listeners?
On the roster.
Just having a conversation about dyke plugging with somebody.
Yeah, well, wouldn't be the first time. Dave in Monterey, California has more roster
stuff.
What
up, Jack?
Like you, I was surprised at the cutting of Finene, especially given the lack of depth at the defensive tackle position. Is there a possibility that he gets re-signed later? I can't imagine that Pryor brings more talent than Finene. Based on what we've heard, there is a 0% chance of him being re-signed later. This year, anyway.
You think he's already in Samoa? Remember, like, he couldn't sign his contract
because he was in Samoa?
Maybe he's already back in Samoa. I bet he's got that $4 million buried somewhere in the Samoan Islands.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know.
Good luck finding that, Patriots.
It doesn't seem like that was a amicable parting of the ways. I think that Matthew Slater's roster spot weighs heavily on the progression of Jeff Demps as they are kind of served in the same role. The speedy returner and the potential speed guy on offense.
Oh, isn't Slater's biggest role as like a gunner and a cover guy?
Yeah.
And an off returner is part of it as well.
Very different kinds of special teams responsibilities.
And speaking of Demps, do you legitimately think, A, he has NFL running back capabilities, and B, at what point will he have NFL running back capabilities if you do believe he has them down the road?
I don't think you can rely on him as a running back probably until next year. You know,
even
fully.
As a Danny Woodhead running back,
I think there's a chance that he could make a play or two this year as a Danny Woodhead type running back. I think they could, you know, as Dave actually mentions here, motion him out, try see if you can get him in space.
Oh,
get him
sure.
In a, I think
no,
could,
but
I'm talking about on a consistent.
If there's
third
a blitz,
down
he
back.
Knows what to do. If
yeah.
The guy comes, he
I don't
can
think,
at least get in the way.
I don't
and
think you can rely on that until 13
yeah,
year
I don't
oldest.
He That's to, why I don't really include him on the running back.
He needs to learn this whole offense, and his, you know, and physically, we have to see if he can do those things too.
Because I mean, we've seen Woodhead get blown up and blow, and
I don't think that's the
he's thicker.
Yeah, I don't think that's the strength of Woodhead's third down package either. So yeah, I agree with you. He also likes having Bobby Carpenter as a linebacker since Belichick wanted him coming out of Ohio State. I think the loss of Fletcher is bigger than most think. He was always available in a pinch and wasn't a weak point in the defense as part of the rotation. See, my thing with Fletcher is that he hasn't always been available in a pinch because generally he's been injured. I just don't think that's a huge loss. I like Dane Fletcher. I think he's a great story as an undrafted free agent. I tend to root for those guys. But I just don't think – I think teams lose backup linebackers and special teams players.
And they replaced him.
And they replaced him.
With Bobby Carpenter, a backup linebacker and special teams player. I mean, you same.
We'll take one more roster thought, Kevin, and then we'll take a break so I can finish eating because I'm hungry. Fat guy, I got to eat. Eric is in Brooklyn. Some thoughts. Decker?
No, I was thinking Matt. Eric was in Brooklyn, Matt.
It would be quite impressive if you were in.
And if you're Brooklyn. Emailing while doing it? Talk about multitasking.
You got to get a life. I have 10 guys making the team at each of the following areas: O-line, D-line, and secondary. I had 10 guys making the team in the secondary, 5 and 5. And I think I only had 9 offensive and defensive linemen.
I had 10 D linemen, 8 offensive linemen, and 9 defensive backs.
That seems heavy to me. So here are some options for guys on the bubble. Of the following pairs, cut one, keep one.
Okay.
Ready, Andy, I'll let you do it.
Hopefully it matches up with what I wrote on the blog.
Cut one, keep one. Nate Ebner, Alphonso Dennard.
I will cut Ebner and put him on the practice squad.
Myron Pryor, Ron Brace.
I will cut Pryor. That's a tough one.
Put him on PUP.
Well, yeah, if I can do that, I'll do that.
Ryan Wendell, Donald Thomas.
I will cut Thomas.
Justin Francis, Trevor Scott.
I'll cut Scott.
Quick follow-up. Have you guys seen Dennard at all? I was intrigued by the pick, and now I'm thinking we never, ever get to see him play.
He's big. I like him.
We saw him briefly. He is back on the practice field now, Eric.
So there's some reason for optimism going forward. We'll see if he can maybe catch up. He missed a lot of time. Was out. I think he got hurt the second day of practice.
That's irrelevant.
So he has a lot of making
Rosai
up to
do. Dowling started.
All right, we're going to have we have about a half hour left. The phone lines are open, as they say. The Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398.
Yes.
Give us a call. It's a good time to jump in, and we got plenty of emails lined up.
I love this card.
With my Bank of Americard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios. Proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 odd megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Meet Sarah, mother of two teens, Todd and Laura, who are going back to school with the latest smartphones from Verizon.
With Facebook and email, I just feel more connected.
They get the Oxford Dictionary app,
so they can prep for their SATs.
And she feels good about the family budget.
Two smartphones and a tablet, all on one data plan.
Sarah chose the new Verizon Share Everything plan with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and shareable data that connects up to 10 devices. Plus, use your Verizon smartphone as a hotspot at no extra charge. And now get $100 off select Motorola 4G LTE smartphones like the Droid Razr. Now only $99.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card and $50 instant savings. With Verizon, life just got easier for Sarah and her whole family. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com/sale, or call 1-800-256-4646. Requires new 2-year activation. Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/bestnet.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos, Annie was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
You know, just listening to that playback, one of the underrated things to me is you're talking about all the different things. You know, if someone said Jen Sturgis photos, and I out of nowhere I go, matter of fact, I have done that. And then Fred just, yes. Oh, what a maroon. So evidently, Kevin tells me that the Giants have changed the time for the final preseason game from 7:30 to 7 on Wednesday night. That's a week from yesterday. The preseason finale is now at 7.
More importantly.
Instead of 7:30 at MetLife Stadium. More importantly.
Changes the pregame social from 5:15.
2 hours before 7:30.
4:45.
Right. Which gets us home a little bit earlier. All right. Roster spots, DBs. Only idiots could have concern about depth or anything else on the line or any other part of the defense and should be more concerned with their well-being. Is Eric calling in? Can Fred call in again, too?
Who's this email from and what does
that
mean?
That's our buddy Rich, who thinks he is like has some sort of stand-up comedy routine going, but he has surpassed William Berry is the worst emailer in the history of PFW in Progress.
He likes Fred.
Strippers sends in this little missive off of Pro Football Talk. Evidently, Andy, Buddy Nix, general manager of the Bills, not as scared of the Patriots. Do you have a response to that?
You should be. No, they shouldn't be scared.
It's not quite a Jets-level declaration, but Buddy Nix said recently his team's not intimidated by in its own backyard. In an interview with the Toronto Sun, Nick said, the Bills' priority remains winning the AFC East, a feat almost no one gives them a chance to do. Quote, every really good coach I've ever been with, they emphasize winning the division strongly, and we always have. I think it all starts there. You start depending on the wild card, and you might win 11 games and not get in. But if you win your division, even by winning 8 games, you get in. So that's what you got to do. And as everyone knows, that means getting by the Patriots, who have won double-digit games 10 of the last 11 seasons, including 9 division crowns. Quote again, no, I like high expectations, Nick said. I've never been many places where you didn't have them that good things happen. So I think they ought to expect a lot from us. We expect a lot of ourselves. New England, the AFC, they don't scare me. I think we can compete with any of them, and our intention is to try to win the division. I have no problem with that.
I have no problem. I don't think anybody in a sport like football, in any sport other than like MMA or boxing, I don't think you should ever say I'm afraid of my opponent or whatever. What's the worst that happens? They win. You lose. Now, in MMA, they could actually kill you, choke you out, leave you in a bloody pulp. But, I mean, if you don't think you have a chance to win, especially a year after you actually beat the team and were competitive for the first half of the season, then you're in the wrong sport. Now, I disagree with some of his premises. I think there's plenty of places that had low expectations that had success. I would point to the 2001 New England Patriots. I don't think anybody thought that team was going to win the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. Things just snowballed in the positive direction for them. But he has nothing to fear but fear itself.
Okay. Nathan is in Southern California, and he wants to say that you are wrong, Andy.
About what?
About the reason why people call. He said, I almost called, not because the show needs help, but because it's easier to get through there sometimes where there are less people. I appreciate all of the football talk. I've gotten more in a show from you guys right now than a month of filtering through football, even through Nut Wizards and the Kids' Destination Wedding and Synopsis of a Trip to France.
Well, that's because Fred and Eric aren't here to screw this up.
Below
What's
is the email.
Kids' Destination.
Destination wedding?
Who had a destination wedding?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I have no recollection of anything like that.
I don't remember, to be honest with you. If you ask me what happened in 76, I'll be able to tell you, but I don't remember that one.
Anyway, were at the disco, baby.
His email that he had sent to us earlier, he emailed about a month ago with concerns about the offensive line. He wants to welcome us to the party. And Ridley's fumbling issues, which Andy called me a negative douche. I stated that all of these new weapons for Brady won't do any good if he can't get the ball to them, which brings me to my question. Is it possible that the offensive line is more porous than normal? Brady feels pressure that might not necessarily be there.
Well, are we basing this on, like, a couple series in one preseason game and a little bit of practice?
Right. I remember in 09 with his injury, he seemed a little bit more jumpy and tentative. Any chance he reacts prematurely or is less accurate because of his lack of confidence in the offensive line? Also,
yes.
How does Chandler set the edge? Carter was great at the pass rush and setting the edge. Can Chandler do both?
Yes.
Lastly, think Chandler can match Carter with 10 sacks?
No.
Well, the one thing that I'll say about the situation with the offensive line, and I will admit I am late to the party, but you know, as most media guys do, there's always an excuse and always a reason. I feel like things have changed from the way they were in the summer. I think most people were concerned not about Nate Solder, but about the health of Vollmer, Mankins, and whether or not Waters would return. I am concerned right now because I don't think Nate Solder looks as good as he did last year. Now, Dante was adamant yesterday in talking about that, saying he's a better player today than he was last year.
Tougher position.
Yeah. Now, I think that the reason I'm concerned right now is because there is no plan B. We talked about Damian Woody tweeted out during the game, this Nate Solder experiment doesn't seem to be going well. Well, the problem with that is it ain't an experiment. It's the plan. This is the course of action. When you draft a guy 17th overall as a left tackle, the plan is to have him play left tackle. And right now, he's struggling. So, yeah, I'm late to the party, but that's why. I didn't envision the struggles that Solder has had. The other stuff I'm not concerned about. I think Mankins will be fine.
See, I did envision the struggle Solder would have, but not to
you
this
did.
Degree.
You did.
I thought there would be a growing period, but this...
You did. We argued about
this
it.
This is a little uglier than I hoped it would be. And now I have my concerns at the length of it. And my biggest concern is, I think it's in his head. I think it's a confidence issue right now. And to me, that's something you can't read. You can't fix. You never know how these guys are going to react to certain things. And he's a soft-spoken guy, probably a very introspective guy. And I don't know how he gets his confidence back and when he gets his confidence back.
Chris with the TIAN is next in. Hey, Paul and Kevin, Andy, you suck. I couldn't agree more.
Not as much as your mother does. Oh!
There he goes. Good Bob Doyle sighting, by the way. You don't get enough Bob Doppler sightings in the course of a day.
Bye, Bob.
Curious what you guys think about the whole Fanene thing. Are you guys buying the whole undisclosed medical issue thing? I mean, what else could it be? Also very intrigued by Demps. You can't teach speed now, as someone once said. I think that's what he said. please don't have Eric on. All right.
I don't know. I kind of feel like we need Fred here to tell us what the company stance is on Fanene before I can speak about Fanene.
It's an odd situation based on the stuff that we've read, the reports about, not disclosing the injury and whatnot. We need more information.
Yes.
I don't think it's something, I'm not really holding back. I think we need more information. You know,
right.
Like I'm trying to follow some company line. I just don't know.
The possibilities are somewhat obvious.
Yeah.
Doctors missed an injury that they should have diagnosed when they signed him. Because you have to ask yourself, what changed between March whatever and August whatever? That you say, okay, we're cutting ties. Nope, we're not putting you on IR. We're not going to wait. We're not doing anything. We are cutting ties with you and saying bye-bye. And one of them is he got injured. One of them is he had an injury that you missed. Or he had something that he should have disclosed, which is clearly their official stance based on the way they filed his release,
right,
that he didn't. But only a few people really know the truth, and the only one who's going to really decide what the facts are probably in the end is my buddy Stephen Burbank, special arbitrator or special master or whatever.
I was just about to go to the Ace Ticket hotline again, but we had a call that just dropped off, so I'm not
Maybe
sure.
Maybe it was Eric, and that one said, please don't go to Eric. Okay, he hung up.
Let's see here. Lance J.
Lance J.
Lance J. wants some
fantasy. Better than BJ.
Oh, for God's sake. So I want some fantasy information from you, Andy.
There was a fantasy show the other day. Why didn't you call
Wide receivers, running backs for the Patriots worth grabbing, and in what rounds? Leave the obvious Lloyd and Welker out of the convo. Thanks, D-bags. Well, let me really tell you what you should do. I think you should get Julian Edelman in the second round, if you want to call me a D-bag. Sorry.
Maybe he means delectable bag.
Okay. Most boring show ever. Can you ask B-Lo to join you?
No.
No. Just
kidding. He's busy with your mother.
Serious question for us. This is from Juve.
Oh, really? I thought I liked Juve until
Please explain the reason why you would bring somebody in for tryouts or just sign a guy without working him out. Demps.
Because you want him? What do you mean? I don't get it.
Why would you, you know, when you're working guys out, generally you want to see what kind of shape they're in for
right.
the most part, especially if they're established NFL players. You want to see right. physically what they have.
Or if they're healthy.
And yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, physically. You want to see what they have.
You said in shape. I mean, also just can the guy walk?
I'm like Bill in that regard. In shape is an all-encompassing term. You know how the whole thing, we can't, you know, if they don't pass the physical, we can't put them on the field, you know, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, so I think
most of that was answered by his silver medal that he wears around his neck.
Correct.
And B, they have a background with him. They were aware of him. And C, there's no risk.
And you're competing with, 31 other teams.
No,
in this particular case, it's not the average undrafted free agent.
Right.
It seemed like everybody was in on this guy. And if you didn't do it, someone else would have.
But you're not signing him to a 5-year, $50 million deal.
And you also, by the way, had some time to sit and talk with this guy previously.
Although they did guarantee some of his salary, right?
I don't know. I didn't see
200 and change of his salary is guaranteed. I know there was some speculation that could lead them to cut him because no one would claim him wanting to pay a guaranteed $200,000 salary, and therefore you could put him on your practice squad.
Huh. I'm not sure that's enough money to dissuade someone from signing him, though. Do you? Are you? No? Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline before we head down the home stretch here. Steve in Boston is next up on PFW in Progress.
Stevie!
How you doing? How you doing?
Doing great, Steve.
Hey, one quick note. I just looked up, I don't know what you guys think about it, but Dan Connolly.
Correct.
He played tackle for 4 years he started. Is that a possibility?
I don't think so. I mean, McDonald did, too. I mean, a lot of these guys were tackle, especially lower level.
You know, Mankins was a four-year starter at tackle as well.
Especially the lower level guys were tackle at their lower level and then move inside to guard and show some versatility in order to have a career in the NFL. But no, I would not feel comfortable. I wouldn't feel comfortable with McDonald, and he's already been out there at tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't feel overly comfortable with Logan Mankins having proven himself as a guard. I think tackle's hard to play in the NFL, and I think it takes some experience.
I think it's more of, I mean, Andy, you being the more adept football guy, but
that's
true. To me, it's a bigger combination of athleticism and power than a guard is.
And it's an island. Inside, you're protected on either side. You have somebody helping you out on either side. Even if they're just getting in the way, it limits what the player can do. When they're on the outside, they can go over you or around you, and that's where we've seen Nate Solder struggle. It's like when he thinks they're going around, they just go over. And then when he thinks they're going over, they go around. And I think that's a tough, tough game to play out there.
Yeah.
Plus, let's remember how, you know, I know we like to romanticize Dan Connolly a little bit, but if you remember what Sean Ellis did to him a couple years ago in the postseason, he hasn't shown himself to be the, you know, most perfect dominant athlete on the planet.
He's a solid, steady guard, but not by any means an elite guard.
And left tackle is a tough position to play. It's why they have for decades made the big money and were the blind side and were, you know, their salaries went up at the same rate as quarterbacks and all that because it's a premium position in the NFL.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
I didn't mean to be a wet blanket on your idea.
But he points out, and they all, and you know, we actually point out they all played tackle for the most part.
Right.
I mean, you go back and look, but I appreciate the call, Steve. There's a few.
I mean,
more
look
emails.
At Marcus Cannon, played
tackle
at a high level, left tackle in college. You know, I remember Brian Waters raving about because he's a Texas guy, watched him or whatever. He used to maul people, kill people. He can't play. Right now, he is struggling.
You broke into your Brian Waters' scratchy voice.
Yeah, I tried a little bit. He's struggling mightily at right tackle, and I think it's even harder to play left tackle. It's a challenging position mentally and physically in the National Football League now.
Well, speaking of Brian Waters, Phil Hughes took some time out from his spot in the rotation with the Yankees to write in. He knows the offensive line has been an issue for a lot of fans, but I think they'll be okay with Mankins and Vollmer back now. And I think they'll bring more stability to the offensive line, and as a result, the standard of play will improve. However, I'm beginning to worry that Waters is not going to report. Have you guys heard anything to indicate that?
Nope.
Haven't heard anything regarding Waters, but I would his larger point I agree with. I think the presence of Mankins will help Solder.
Yeah, some.
Some. It will help. Not going to hurt. And I think the
no,
same
it will
thing,
not hurt. I guarantee
I think,
it won't
I, and
hurt.
And I think to your point, which I know that you're punching bag of Marcus Cannon, Vollmer's better than Cannon. So that's going to help things
right.
too.
And if I thought Vollmer could play a full season, I'd be far more confident. But I don't. So now I'm back to I have two guys playing tackle that are struggling mightily.
Let's
Am I
see.
Being overly negative, Paul? If you want to tell me, just tell me I'm being overly negative, and I'll stop.
You tend to be negative, yes.
I'm reactionary. I'm not going to lie to you. Oh, that's a nice catch. Way out of bounds, but nice catch.
This is an email I sent after you went off on my initial email on Tuesday. This is from Nick. I don't really remember. I'm sure I did, though.
Who went off?
Probably me. I didn't mean Gaffney is better than Branch by saying Branch is number four. I simply meant Wes Lloyd Hernandez, who I see as the number three option and more of a receiver than a tight end, and then Branch is the four. Okay, I'm going to go off again then. And if that's the case, then Gronkowski is higher on the list.
Got more passes.
You know, he's...
More yards.
You know, whatever.
More touchdowns.
But I agree.
Lines
Hernandez, I agree with you, would fall in before. I think he probably falls in front of Lloyd. I think Hernandez will be a bigger part of the offense than Lloyd.
Some
is.
Of us believe he falls in at number one when you, he catches 100
do,
balls
I
this year.
But I think that he will go
that's
higher.
That's a good fight in the Broncos-Seahawks game.
I simply was trying to say that Branch showed he is better than Stallworth. I thought Stallworth missed a lot of opportunities to show some speed and ability versus Branch snagging everything. That, I'm 100% on board with you. That was the final straw for me in my bubble with Stallworth. He got knocked off to me on Monday night.
Yeah, I never saw the speed this year. You know, when he first got here, I think Bill even said, and he still got the same speed, and people were saying, oh, Stallworth still looks like... I never saw it. I never once said, that guy looks really fast. He just looked like Joe average receiver out there.
Gaffney has never been on my radar, considering you guys never talk about him either on the radio nor in the paper versus everyone else. Well, he's been banged up. That's why no one's talked about him for the last week or so. He hasn't practiced since about this time last week. But, I mean, I would be surprised to see him cut, certainly. I assume they'd keep him for a depth option. Final wide receiver spot simply because Tom likes him and not at the expense of Branch. I agree. I think Branch is one of Tom's favorites. I'd be stunned if he gets cut.
What if all three got cut? Wouldn't
I'd be
that
stunned.
Be awesome?
I'd be stunned.
Not for them.
I had
mean,
the
I
same
just...
conversation on the pregame social where people were bashing Branch.
I hate the bashing of Branch.
I don't get that.
I've said it a thousand times.
That's the part
times.
I probably went off.
I don't know how you can say 51 catches and 13 yards a catch and some of the big plays he have and just, I'm just going to cut you. I have no interest in you anymore.
Because a guy who has never had the kind of season with the Patriots that Branch has had comes in and they like him better. I don't really get it.
You know why? The grass is always greener.
Brian in Essex, Vermont, wanted to follow up for us. He thought that Fred's son was looking to have a wedding in Greece, and Fred was not interested. I hadn't heard that.
I didn't know Fred's son was getting married.
Well, he's definitely not, but...
Might want to graduate high school first.
Somewhere down the line.
I've never heard anything about that. Greece, Fred's son.
I don't either.
I think this guy was drunk at the wheel.
I agree with your general conclusions with Buddy Nix's quotes from PFT. He shouldn't be scared, and given the performance in the first half last season, they have every reason to be confident in themselves. In my perfect little utopia, it's 1 Patriots, 2 Bills, 3 Dolphins, 4 irrelevant, as always. But the Bills made some great moves this offseason, and they certainly have the parts to get it done if their quarterback can remain consistent. It's a huge if.
I don't actually think they should be confident because I have no confidence in Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that they shouldn't fear the Patriots.
I do think that they have a little bit more depth on the team than they've had in the past, but I don't think they're...
It doesn't matter. If you can't score points and keep up with Brady, it doesn't matter.
I still don't think they're very good, but I'm in the minority on that. Have a question about Solder. How long did it take for Matt Light to settle down when he was thrown into the mix? From what Scar said, and if memory serves, even Light had some growing pains when he was first promoted to starter. Could we be looking at a first few games of uncertainty before he really settles down? Yeah, certainly Matt Light was not the guy that he finished up being when he started.
He wasn't the guy that he finished up being. Like midway through his career, he would have bad stretches. But I think we took him for granted for some of the good stretches and good games he had. Now, I don't specifically remember his rookie season. I was in a different capacity at that point and don't really recall.
Want to play a little bit of a game?
Sure.
Craig in Ontario wants to know, if you were GM and had no worries about future picks, which one of these four players would you trade for to complete this roster? Ed Reed, Jared Allen, Maurice Jones-Drew, Dwayne Bowe.
Reed, Allen, Jones-Drew, Bowe. I would probably say Allen.
I would say Allen, followed closely by Reed. I think Allen has more left in the tank.
I do too. And I think
and I have
team
no interest
defense.
In either one of the offensive players, even if the Patriots didn't already have a great offense. How's that?
I would take Jones-Drew, but I don't.
Yeah. No,
I don't think you need him. Why do you not like Jones-Drew?
Because I don't like running the ball. You know that. You know I don't speak Spanish.
I like dimples on blondes with big breasts.
All right, then. How about some miscellaneous questions from Connor in New Hampshire? Speaking of Connors, if you had to pick the under-the-radar team to win the Super Bowl this year, who would it be?
Put me on the spot.
Is this where we get into a half hour argument about who's under the radar and who's not?
Under the radar team to win the Super Bowl. I'm trying to do a quick scan through my brain. Who's under the radar?
That's kind of what I'm.
Like the Detroit Lions? Are they under the radar?
I think that would be one. Carolina Panthers.
No chance.
I'm just trying to get something under the radar.
Would be under the well, except for they guaranteed it, right? Didn't their guard or tackle something put a paper in a newspaper ad in? And
yeah, I just in this day and age, I'm not sure how many teams actually qualify for under the radar. Like if you said someone like Dallas or the Jets, those teams aren't under the radar. They didn't make the playoffs last year, but they're not under the radar.
Now, would the Buffalo Bills be under the radar?
I suppose.
I don't think they will. I was just asking if they'd be under the radar.
Also, if BB and TB...
How about the Bengals?
I was actually thinking the Bengals, but then I started thinking,
Andy
no
Dalton.
Way.
Why not? It'd be a great story. Just so Mike Brown can go double barrel shots at everybody, just walking around, screw you people, won the Super Bowl.
If BB and TB mutually retired tomorrow and you could pick any quarterback under 30 and any coach...
OF.
Head or otherwise around the league to replace them... Who would you want to help bring the Patriots back to the playoffs?
Josh McDaniels.
And?
No, I was just kidding. I think that's the answer. But who? Any coach
any
and any quarter, GM?
Any quarterback under 30. I mean, there's 10 of them. There's a lot of under 30 quarterbacks.
I can take any quarterback.
Matthew
Aaron
Stafford.
Rodgers.
Is he under 30?
I believe so.
Aaron Rodgers. Okay. I thought he was 30. You might be right. One more thing. Why aren't the end zones at Gillette ever painted with a different design? That's a question for higher-ups.
Well, they're not painted right now because we're still in soccer season. And it takes a lot of work to rub them out.
Does any team still use the Lombardi sweep play, Larry wants to know? He finished reading the biography on Vince Lombardi, When Pride Still Matters, which I enjoyed very much. All of the Patriots' recent screenplays on Monday night made me wonder, what happened to the Lombardi sweep? Is this a play still used anymore?
What's the Lombardi sweep where he goes,
seal here, seal here, and you run it in the alley? Has the passing game made it irrelevant, the fullback position no longer what it once was, or has the sweep morphed into what?
Well, aren't there a lot of plays that are similar to that? Like the Matt Light screen pass?
Well, that's what you're saying, the screens.
Well, yeah, it's sort of an extension of the screen pass short pass has taken away the running, taken the place of the running game, and that would kind of account for that. You're trying to get a seal there and a seal there and get the guy free down the seam.
You think the fullback absences in practice are going to lead McDaniels to sort of get away from that whole two-back?
It's a great question. Great. Well, no, not from. I think you'll still see some two-backs. I think you'll see some two-backs with tight ends in the backfield. Aaron Hernandez has seen plenty of reps in practice as a two-back. I think you'll see some two-backs with Ridley and Vereen.
Ridley and Vereen, we've seen more frequently lately. Too.
Now, I am torn whether Spencer Larson... I'm sorry.
Just so you know, Andy was transfixed.
There's a Broncos cheerleader.
By a buxom blonde Broncos cheerleader.
Jumping jacks. I think Larson could make the team. I think they'd like to have a fullback on the team. I think he's the best option over Catani. But now he has one preseason game and a couple practices to prove it. And Is that enough with McDaniel's history of him, his versatility on special teams, all that? Is that enough? I'll let you know next Friday at around, what, 9 p.m.?
Sure. Dave in Monterey, I think, is being funny. He says the under-the-radar team, the Giants. last one here before we go. Nick, he's a Swede in London. For someone relatively new to American football, what's the big difference between guard and tackle? The roles look pretty similar for
a
newbie.
About a one-foot gap.
Why would someone be able to play center but not guard, as I've heard is the case with Dan Copen? Want to handle that one before I sign it off?
Well, generally, or not generally, but some centers are really undersized because they're protected on either side by a guard, a lot of combo blocking in there. So you don't have to be super stout. You need to be sometimes a headier guy more than a physical guy, and sometimes more athletic than stout. And then guards to tackle. Tackle is the best athlete. They are the least protected. They're on the edge of the line of scrimmage, so you could have anybody coming from the inside, anybody coming from the outside, anybody stretched out wide, corner blitzes, all kinds of stuff kind of come into the radar there. You get the best athletes on the other side of the ball. Whereas guards, again, there's more combo blocking. They're generally bigger, rounder, stouter guys, whereas tackles are generally built with quicker feet, more of a tight end build where they're a little taller, long arms to match up with those outside edge guys. And these are all generalities. I mean, you know, generally a guard is 6'4", 315, and a tackle is nowadays 6'6", 320 or something. But there are tall guards and shorter tackles and all different combinations. But generally, the best athletes play left tackle.
So there you have it from the...
That's how we're ending?
From the football expert. No, I'm going to make sure we let everybody know that tomorrow night...
Let's talk about plugging the dike.
We're going to be back for the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here at 5:15.
That's tomorrow?
Yes.
Hopefully.
What, I mean,
it's going to be a long night tomorrow.
We usually do it, you know, pregame.
Can we do the pregame social the day
now,
after the game?
yeah, so Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Andy Hart, myself, and Adam Jones. That will be at 5:15 tomorrow, so make sure you get ready for that. Fred and Eric will give us some more updates from Tampa today. You can disregard the ones from Eric. What else we got? That pretty much take care of all the bookkeeping?
Sure. Cutdowns are coming. Enjoy the preseason game. Lots of Brady, lots of stars, 2+ quarters of the first team.
We'll have about 10 cuts to talk about the next time we talk on PFW in Progress.
And Greg Schiano.
That final notebook change there. The last preseason game next Wednesday, the Giants have changed the start time to that from 7:30 to 7 p.m. We will be back for PFW in Progress. See you next Tuesday.
Peace out.
Secret, no one needs to know a feeling.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.